The DMT wanted what was called a presence detector, which operated when a vehicle went into a loop and stayed operated until the vehicle left the loop. AWA were marketing and selling RCA loop detectors imported from America, and they had a lot of problems. They weren't working well at all. They had two basic problems. They seemed to have very poor sensitivity in some places, which was unexplained. In other places, they were getting a lot of interference. Interaction between loop detectors and various loops were interacting, and they were just going, you could go to an intersection, it was like a symphony. They were ticking away, tick, 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 all interfering with each other. And it was, the first thing I had to do was find out what the problem was, which took probably about a year. And we did a lot of basic research into loop detectors with cutting loops and driving vehicles over and measuring the changes in inductance and hosing them to simulate rain and getting all the sort of basic data on them and trying different configurations of loops. And then went out to those intersections which were giving low sensitivity and to try and determine what it was, which we eventually did. We eventually found it was buried tram lines where they just tarred over the tram lines and the steel was underneath the loops and it was desensitising the loops. It was decided then to design our own rather than try and modify the American ones.
As a boy, Peter Lowry always loved electronics. He studied electrical engineering and obtained the first cadetship offered by the DMT. His first task was to extend the functionality of traffic signal controllers.
In the very early days, we had electromechanical camshaft-driven controllers called AT and E-type 37s.
At that stage, they were Type 37, which is bigger than our first manufactured.
They employed very high voltages in the timing circuits, which was a problem because out in the street, problems with moisture and dust and dirt getting in, so the timing circuits got affected and the time intervals of each signal changed as the controllers got older, so they had to be brought back to the workshop and completely cleaned and all the contacts cleaned and so forth. Later we imported a few next generation controllers from the UK. They were also called Type 54.
Frank Hawes came to the DMT as an electrical engineer in 1956.
Type 54, designed in 1954, that saw the use of telephone type relays replace the older contactor style of relay. It also saw a significant amount of electronics come in the form of timing circuits, more sensitive to traffic parameters than what the early ones were.
And then AWA adapted that design and manufactured controllers in Australia, in Sydney, and they were the known as the Unitac, and that was our staple controller for many, many years. They were still entirely electromechanical and weren't any more and possibly less reliable than the very old Type 37s.
In 1963, Jim Giffen's job at the DMT workshop was to repair faulty traffic signal controllers. He recalls what they were like.
To work on backbreaking, they were cast iron, very solid pieces of equipment, all sealed up in a container which had a glass front. As they progressed, it was quite easy. You could test a traffic signal controller by sound. You could listen to it. You knew what it should do. Two clunks followed by a pause with another two clunks, and you knew it was working okay.